Hello everyone. Thank you very much for joining us today, and a special thanks to Dr. Victor Graef joining here us at 6:46 his time. We decided as Antiverse to set up a series of events on the fields that we are really passionate about, mainly antibodies and AI. And Antiverse is now a 5 years old company, and during that time we met amazing people like Dr. Victor during that journey. And I think it was 2, 3 years ago, we were looking for a way to benchmark our machine learning models to how to see how good they are in understanding antibodies or generating them. And since then we were in touch on multiple points. Victor Graef, for the ones who doesn't know him, he's an associate professor at University of Oslo. He's running his lab and doing amazing stuff, which we'll get in very soon. Good. Hi, Victor. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Mark.
My first question to you to set the context for the rest of the day. Do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself, the research you do, and the decision points you had in your life which led you here?
Yeah, so maybe I can start with telling a bit about my group when it started. And so I started my group at the University of Oslo in 2018, and this group is about systems immunology, both on the theoretical side, computational side, and experimental side. And I did my so that started in 2018, and I did my postdoc in 2013 to 2017 at the university at ETH Zurich in the lab of Cy Reddy, and I did my PhD from 2009 to 2012 at in Berlin. And how did I come to, so my lab, what is my lab now doing? So we are very interested. So the main focus, I think, of our lab is understanding the specificity of the immune system. So we are using several techniques such as machine learning, immune receptor sequencing, so antibody sequencing, TCR sequencing, structural analyses, simulations to really understand how the immune system can recognize virtually any target and engage any pathogen, and how it can differentiate between self and non-self, and why sometimes our immune system goes off the rails and also performs autoimmune diseases and things like that. So that's what we are really interested in. And so, and the main driving force behind that is, can we predict actions of the immune system? And to further focus on that, I think one of the main focuses of my lab is, can we predict from the immune receptor repertoire disease state, so health or disease or several disease types, and can we predict the target based on the antibody sequence? So predicting antibody antigen binding.
Yes, such a fascinating area. I know that you do a lot of stuff in the antibody repertoire, fingerprints, and you also develop something called ImmuneSim, right? As well as the benchmarking tools. So I want to maybe hear a little bit about those, if you don't mind.
Yes. So just to go back a bit in time. So doing my PhD, so my PhD focused on peptide array profiling. So on the protein, so measuring at large scale antibody antigen binding using peptide microarrays. But there I found we don't really understand the diversity of the antibody repertoire. So then, when I moved to my postdoc, then I spent most of my postdoc time working on methods to how can we understand the diversity of B cell receptor repertoires. And now, since I started my own group, I'm kind of merging those two fields, trying to understand how can we combine our knowledge of the diversity of the antibody and TCR system and the functional diversity, so binding and immune state. And to analyze these fields, we are a big proponent of that we need simulation tools. So, and one of those simulation tools on the repertoire side is ImmuneSim. And ImmuneSim is a R package which allows us to simulate immunoreceptor repertoires of any diversity and kind of mimic the diversity of natural repertoires without having to sequence them. And the good thing is we can also implant antigen-specific motifs of which we can then test the which we can then use for benchmarking machine learning approaches. So one of the main problems in the field of immune repertoire machine learning is that it's that the signal in the that the antigen specific and disease specific signal in the immune repertoires is so low. So sometimes, for example, in celiac disease, only 1 out of 1 million T cells is maybe gluten specific, and picking that up, picking that specific signal up for classifying, for example, celiac disease versus healthy using machine learning is quite difficult, since you need to find that needle in the stack of needles, basically. But you don't know how that needle actually looks like and which is the right needle. So it's a very, very difficult problem. And for that, we need really simulation tools that can simulate any complexity of the immune system or immune repertoire, such that we can really fine-tune our machine learning approaches. So that's ImmuneSim, for example.
That's fascinating. When we first started, we were looking for all types of databases out there to be able to benchmark the complexities of this field, and especially the antibody donor discovery and so on. And I noticed there is so much work out there, especially for small molecules, but probably your lab and your work is one of the only very few that covers the antibody and the immunology space. I was going to ask a few more things on the immune ML. You mentioned it's like an ecosystem for ML analysis of AIRR, right? Adaptive immune receptor repertoires. Would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, so this is all on the repertoire side mostly. So, as I mentioned before, many people have been developing and applying machine learning approaches for immune repertoire analysis, so classifying or predicting health versus disease based on the repertoire, which of course, if it worked, would have great diagnostic and prognostic value, since just by taking someone's blood and sequencing it, you could tell the immune history of that person. So that's, I think, where the field wants to go, that from the immune repertoire, you can decode someone's history and present in terms of pathogen encounter and other diseases. And there have been many machine learning approaches towards that end goal and holy grail, so to speak. But the problem, as with many application areas for machine learning, is that sometimes everybody cooks their own soup, but there is not really one general recipe that one can apply to a research problem. And especially for immune receptor machine learning, repertoire machine learning, many groups have done their own thing. We also, before ImmuneML, but there's no standardized way of approaching immune receptor machine learning, and that's why we developed ImmuneML in collaboration with the group of Gerhard Sande, who is also a professor at the University of Oslo here. And this is a framework or ecosystem, as we call it, which is extendable and open source for immune receptor machine learning. And you can perform immune repertoire based machine learning, so health versus disease. You can perform with that immune receptor-based machine learning, so predicting binding based on the sequence, for example. And it's built in such a way that it enables widespread user adoption. So, for example, you can use it by the command line, which is more for the expert user, I would say. But also, you can use it via the Galaxy framework, which has been used a lot in the genomics field. So, which is more like a click-based framework. So you can load your data in a very standardized way. So we're using various standards in data processing and data input and output. You pull your data in and then you select the machine learning approach you want. And then it performs everything automatically. And there are some breaks in it such that you don't perform your machine learning analysis in a way that is not conform with common standards in the machine learning field. So training and test, it's all taken care of. Hyperparameter selection, nested cross-validation, it's all taken care of on the fly, kind of. And in the paper that will soon come out in Nature Machine Intelligence, so the ImmunoML framework, we are showing three different use cases. So where we reproduce one of the largest studies in the field, and then one where we developed a new machine learning algorithm and show how it can be integrated in a modular way into the ImmunoML ecosystem. And then we are also showing how one can benchmark machine learning approaches using ImmunoML. And we also show, for example, how ImmuneSim can be integrated into ImmunoML. So we're kind of now in the process of adding further tools towards that ecosystem such that in the future it becomes like a one-stop shop for any kind of machine learning analysis for immune receptor analysis.
That's fantastic news. And how is the ecosystem building activities going on? It is not just the software or the whole framework or the package, but people probably asking you somehow to integrate their part into your code base?
So we have not only integrated our own machine learning approaches, but we have also at least a part of the leading machine learning approaches that have existed before, they are integrated into that framework or can be called via ImmunoML and then processed further. There was just a very recent preprint by, I think it was a Japanese group, that have used ImmunoML for their own immune receptor ML research. So that was the first example that other people and not us are using it now also for their own thing. So we're kind of accelerating other people's research, which is, of course, nice to see. Yeah. And so I think so one should, of course, say all the positive things, right? Which is nice. But I should also say that one thing that I would like to add in the future is structural analysis. So this is kind of not integrated yet, because especially in the antibody field for antibody antigen binding prediction, a lot of people are using structure-based machine learning, graph-based machine learning, and that cannot be done yet. But we are thinking about how to also add this structural machine learning field to the sequence-based ML that is currently constituting ImmunoML. And then I think once we have the sequence and the structure-based machine learning, then I think we're in a good place that people don't need to go too much outside of ImmunoML to perform most of their, at least most common analyses. And one thing that I should also like to mention is this now may seem like ImmunoML can only be used by expert users that know a lot about machine learning already. But we also developed, based on this Galaxy framework, kind of an immunology or immunologist-focused entry point towards ImmunoML, where you don't need to know almost anything about machine learning. We just ask you some questions, and based on these questions, the fitting machine learning approach is selected for you, basically. So it's kind of an entry point for people that don't have much experience in machine learning and yet want to try it for their data. So that's kind of nice also, I think.
That's I think, definitely the right path or the direction of travel. I remember we were trying to recruit for an immunologist who is also very good at machine learning. And there are just maybe 5 people in the world who can do that. So it's good that you are kind of maybe making it more accessible, more available to a wider audience. Yeah. And I have another 100 questions about that topic, but maybe it will be, it can be its own session some other time. I know your lab is doing so much amazing work, especially in 2021. I've seen so many papers coming out. Is there any particular topic or research area that you are working on but we haven't touched upon yet?
Yeah, so so one of our main focuses is, of course, machine learning, but we also have an experimental side where we are now developing mass spectrometry approaches for antibody repertoire analysis. So the background that one needs to know for this is, so most of the people that are performing repertoire analysis perform their analysis on B cell receptor sequencing if one is on the B cell side. But the B cell receptor repertoire doesn't give you the picture of what antibodies are actually swimming in the blood. And for that, you need mass spectrometry, at least for now. And we are currently developing computational but also experimental approaches to kind of benchmark how sensitive current mass spec approaches are for large-scale repertoire analysis, such that in the future we also fill this blank spot of what is actually the diversity of antigen-specific antibodies in the blood towards a certain antigen, so that we can answer these questions with more confidence. Okay. And one area that we are also a bit going into is a bit more esoteric, so a bit more fundamental immunology, is evolutionary immunology, where we are trying to understand why is the adaptive immune system set up like it is. So why do we have those 50 V genes, 20 J genes, 20 J genes, 10 J genes, 20 D genes? Why do we have those V genes? Why don't we have other V genes? Why do we make all similar repertoires but not the same repertoires? How does our initial repertoire protect us against common diseases, but maybe not so well against diseases that we haven't seen? So, for example, with COVID, right, or with also HIV, for example, we have seen that, yes, our immune system works quite well by recognizing them, but it's not so good at neutralizing novel antigens that we have not seen recently in evolutionary times. So I think there is a lot of things to understand also for antibody engineering from the fundamental side of why our immune system is set up in a way it is. Maybe we can derive principles from that also for a more applied, more nature-inspired antibody engineering approach that is not so based on human heuristics, but more nature's heuristics that have been benchmarked over millions of years. Mm-hmm. So that's what we are also interested in, but we're just starting that. So there's not so much that we can show there. Yes, so no papers yet, but we are working on that also. Yeah.
Super, super exciting.
Yeah.
I'll have one more question for you, but before going into that, from the audience, if anybody has any questions, and if you are new to AIRMeet, on the right-hand side, there's a message section. It has multiple tabs under chat, Q&A, and a few others. So if you have any questions, please pop them into the Q&A section, and we'll bring them up to the stage. So the last question I have before we move on to Q&A and after that networking is, how do you see the convergence of immunology and machine learning impacting drug discovery? we have some people in the audience from pharma biotech companies and so on that are really excited about the potential of the convergence of these two technologies. And I wonder, as one of the experts in this field, what are your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, it's very exciting, and every day brings a new paper that one has to read and a new discovery that one needs to keep track of. So that's good. And machine learning is for sure a very important brick in building that, future building of in silico drug discovery, that I think, which is the long-standing aim that we want all to go towards, that we don't have to perform experiments anymore, right? That's just by a click of a button, we can design anything. But I think towards that goal, we still need very good training data, experimental training data to better understand how nature has designed the system that we're trying to understand, which is, for example, antibody antigen binding or TCR epitope binding. And I think for now, a major bottleneck in the field remains large-scale data sets where we have linked a TCR or antibody antigen binding, such that we can really train and understand our machine learning approaches. And we need this both, I think, on the sequence and structural level, and ideally with paratope-epitope resolution. And that all of that at large scale. So, because I think without that, we can develop as much as we want, but we need, for example, for generative machine learning, right? When you generate new sequences in silico, how do you validate them at large scale? There's no such system experimentally available that can validate binding of thousands or hundreds of thousands of sequences very quickly towards binding a certain antigen. Do those sequences bind or not? And unless we have something like that, I think it's going to be very difficult to really know which machine learning approaches work best, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why we like our simulations so much, because at least they can approximate the natural complexity to some degree, but of course not fully. Yeah.
Okay. No, thank you very much for that. I have a few questions for you. One of them is from Andrew Moyes. I'll show it on stage if I can. And I will read out. Do you see a significant role for molecular dynamics in understanding antibody-antigen interactions? Can it be avoided?
Yeah, this is actually a very interesting question. I think we need to understand the molecular dynamics of antibody antigen binding, since we know that crystal structures are only a snapshot of antibody antigen interaction. And there is actually work by a group in Innsbruck, the Klaus Liedl lab, which I think in one of their recent papers have found that you can predict the shape of the paratope in the bound state already a bit from the unbound state. So, and they are really experts in molecular dynamics, and they have found this using molecular dynamic simulation. So I think for now, it is still needed, especially maybe in the future, if those simulations get more robust also, to really train machine learning approaches such that you don't have to simulate everything, but just use a machine learning approach to actually infer the different states or the dynamics that the antibody can be in. So that would be good. And I think there was also a recent review on recent progress in machine learning for molecular dynamics research. So I think this is a very exciting field, which I'm not an expert in, but I think it is very much needed still. Yeah.
Okay. No, I think that was great. And Andrew, if you want to follow up, join us on the networking session. So there is another one from Turbulent Insol. So do you think sequence-based machine learning can learn structural features and structure-based ML will be redundant?
Yes. This is one of the, I think, fundamental questions. So Of course, the hope is yes, since it's much easier to make large-scale sequence-based datasets than it is to make large-scale structure-based datasets. And we kind of approached this question a bit in a recent preprint of us in which we put forward this large-scale antibody-antigen simulation system, where we tried to predict antibody-antigen binding based on the sequence and with or without addition of structural features. And what we found is that even if you have 200,000 paratope-epitope pairs, it's still very hard to learn any patterns that predict paratope-epitope binding. But if you add structural information to these sequence pairs, then prediction gets much better, much quicker. So I would hope, so this is actually one of the questions that we have in the lab, how many sequences would one need to outcompete structural knowledge, kind of, if that is not available? I think that's a very interesting question that we are approaching from several angles, but we don't have a real answer. I hope, yes, we don't need structure in the future, but...
We have time, I think, maybe for two more questions. So I'll try to pick different... Let's bring it from William Steele. Do you see any opportunities for transfer learning in this space, Victor, and pre-training a protein BERT model and fine-tuning on phage display selection enrichment data?
Yeah, so in another preprint that we recently put out, which is on the generation on generation of antibodies, we showed that transfer learning can be useful. And so we are also looking into what you propose here, pre-training on protein BERT models. I think that's a very good idea, and one needs to evaluate to what extent that's useful, but I think it will be useful.
So another one from Simon Cooper, from Dr. Simon Cooper from Isogenica. I just moved around. Alphafold is leading in structured prediction from sequence. Are you collaborating in any way with them, learning from them, or simply competing with them?
We are not collaborating, but I think we're also not competing with them because it's hard to compete with Google. We are learning from them for sure. And I think AlphaFold is very good for protein structure prediction, but I think it has issues, especially with the CDRs, since they're so variable of antibodies. So I think that's still an active field. And I think AlphaFold will break the next barrier of sound, so to speak, of research once they show that also protein-protein complexes can be, so the interaction thereof can be predicted. And to what extent in the future antibody-antigen binding can be solved quickly, I'm not so sure, because the training data is just not there. Unless Google has access to training data that nobody else has access to. I mean, we just published in Cell Reports an analysis of 1,000 non-redundant antibody-antigen CRISPR structures, and that's kind of the largest data set. So there are not so many more non-redundant structures and complexes, antibody antigen complexes. So I think it will be difficult to make a lot of progress in this field unless we get much more detailed data quite soon. Yeah.
Great. I see that Q&A section is actually now being flooded with so many more messages, but I think we'll call it a session for now. And for all those questions, please stay with us and move on to the networking session. We would like to thank you one more time, Victor, for, you know, taking the time and coming here and talking about your science.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. See you all in Table 1 on networking. Bye now.